Are you a burnt out overachiever buried in responsibilities? Do you miss laughing with your friends, just laughing from the gut? Do you feel like life's passing you by? If you've been wishing for some kind of shift, you're in the right place. Welcome to 52 Weeks of Hope, the show where we take you off the hamster wheel by ditching your to-do list for the to-don't list. This is where you get to learn how to make that lonely ache vanish, learn self-compassion techniques, and to give yourself grace. I'm Lauren Abrams, and I get to help you feel that magic again since going through my own dark night of the soul, so you can learn from my experience and the mentors and experts I meet along the way. And today we're talking to coach, self-love, and meditation expert Kelsey Aida. Are you ready to use all the incredible energy of the universe and tap into all your intuitive abilities? Do you want to learn how to manifest and use all of this incredible personal development for your and everyone around you's highest good? You're in luck because you get to hear from Kelsey, who overcame an almost deadly three-year depression and now makes it her mission to teach you these inspiring, empowering visions. After studying and learning for years, she's here to show you how you too can enjoy life and enhance the lives of others. Known as the Meditation Maven, welcome to 52 Weeks of Hope, Kelsey.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for the great intro. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear from you. The Meditation Maven. Wait, and also the self-love psychic. I absolutely love that. Known as that too.
Yeah, that was a nickname bestowed to me by one of my friends who was really into human design. And she was like, oh, your design like explains everything about why you're so good at this. You're the self-love psychic. And I was like, oh,
yeah, take that on. Yeah, as soon as you take that on, that's what you become anyway, right? As soon as that's your moniker. Oh, I love it. Okay, so a three-year depression just sounds so dark, which I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was. And I was so young, too, that 3 years felt a big portion of my life. So this was probably age like 17 to 20, 21-ish. And that was like my first dark night of the soul that kind of initiated me into becoming this wellness spiritual teacher that I am today. And then a few years after that, there was a second dark night of the soul. And that's when I went through a really bad breakup and I was just going through a lot of grieving and somehow like processing all those really heavy emotions just shed so much energetic density from my body that I opened myself up to all these psychic and intuitive gifts that I had no idea that I had. I became basically like a psychic medium overnight, which was crazy. And so now I use those gifts of channeling and intuitive gifts to help my clients and to write awesome books and to just help people avoid unnecessary suffering and manifest their best lives.
I know the unnecessary suffering, I guess, is the part because suffering is part of life, I guess. And it's from our darkest times. I read this beginning and I'm like, yeah, there's not going to be only one. Like, it's just not life. But it's so interesting. So from 17 to 2021, it is so young. And how did you get out of it? And were you still like showing up for life? What were you doing then?
Yeah, I was doing the bare minimum. So they diagnosed me with like functional depression. So I was still going to school and like doing stuff, but with a brave face on and just like suffering and like slowly dying from the inside. And it was the perfect storm of hormonal imbalance of being a teenager, going on birth control. I've trained my whole life to be a professional dancer. And then I got injured. And on top of that, I was just like really lacking emotional intimacy with myself and others that I just need to feel connected and to thrive. And all of that just led to the perfect storm. And eventually how I healed was I hit my pain threshold and I was like, okay, I'm like dreaming of a coma. I'm like dreaming of driving on the wrong side of the road, getting hit by a bus. Like, this is obviously not sustainable. I need to figure out how to enjoy my life stat. And I basically just made an ultimatum with the universe and I was like, God, universe, whoever's out there, what's a girl got to do to get some help? I need help. Send help. I need to learn how to enjoy my life again and feel better and thrive because quality of life is everything. So I put that out into life. And as life would have it, I received what I was asking for. And I started seeing a really good therapist. I started working with a shaman. I started reading a lot of books about
energy. How did you find a shaman?
Actually, he was already one of my friends. And we did hair together. So when I couldn't become a dancer, I shifted to cosmetology because I was always very good at beautifying people and doing people's hair and makeup. And people always came to me for that randomly. Like, people would be like, cut my hair. I'd be like, okay, I don't know why you want me to cut your hair, but okay, even when I was little. And so I ended up being a cosmetologist, and the guy who I trained under doing hair with, he just so happened to be a shaman also. So it worked out. He was already there before I even asked. Between all the spiritual work that I was doing and the emotional work that I was clearing, I was able to start feeling a lot better within a short period of time without taking any medicine, just lifestyle changes, mindset changes, and doing those energetic shifts and upgrades. And that's when I was like, okay, I really need to share this with the world, because if I can get myself out of a suicidal state, then anything is possible with this information, and it needs to be more accessible to people. So that's when I decided to become an author. And obviously, like, I didn't have a platform back then because I had just decided I was going to be an author. So
I love the prayer, help me.
Yeah.
You know, help like that's me. The ultimate, that's the ultimate prayer. Help
yeah.
me.
And it works. It was a good one. It worked.
Yeah.
I can testify.
Yeah. Okay. So keep going. Yes.
Yeah. So then I started a blog to build a following, and I would write about overcoming your anxiety and depression and manifesting and raising your vibration and mindset work and how to do affirmations in a way that actually works. And like everything that was working for me, I was just sharing about it, teaching
and
on
it. What kind of affirmations were you doing at the time? Because I'm sure that's evolved.
Yeah. So, well, one of the first affirmations that helped me the most was, I am not my depression.
Ooh,
and
okay.
That was when I realized that, like, the same way that you get the cold or a flu, you're not like, I am the flu, I am my cold, right? You just have a cold. It's temporary. You sleep a lot. You drink a lot of water, and you trust that, like, your body's going to heal and you're going to get better, right? You're not like, I am my cold. So if depression is a mental illness, I was just like, okay, if I'm mentally ill, like, I'm sure my body and my mind can heal from this too with the right support. So when I made that mindset shift, one of my first most important affirmations was, I'm not my depression. Like, I'm so much more than that. And that helped me to really shift my perspective. And the best place to start is always I am affirmations. I think those are really powerful and very simple, but they've since evolved into, my big thing is not to fake it till you make it. I hate when people teach like the 80s approach of, oh, just say you're a millionaire a million times and it'll happen. I'm like, no, if you feel stupid when you say it, or you feel like a fraud when you say it, it's actually doing more energetic harm than it is good. So instead, how can we shift the affirmation to be, I'm open to lining up with my richest timeline. I'm excited to make more money than ever before. I'm learning how to manage my finances. Like, we just shift the verbiage and the vibration so that it is true to where you are now, but it's also expansive to where you want to go. So you have one foot where you're accepting reality and the other foot in your new vibration. And that, I think, is the most powerful way to work with them. So that's how I teach them now.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's like God doesn't drive parked cars. You can't sit in a corner going, I wish this and that. Like, you have to take some kind of action too. So I like that. It is also the only one that I disagree is saying I love you in the mirror, looking at yourself. Because if you wait until you actually feel that, it's never going to happen.
Yeah. And even if you don't think it's true, it is true, because it's impossible for you to be against yourself. So that's why it works.
So that's the only one that I think you just keep doing it until one day you realize you mean it and you believe it, and it's not, you're not faking it. That's the only one. It is a kind of a fake it till you make it, even though, like you said, it's true. You just don't know it.
Yeah, exactly. It's true, because if you're trying, you wouldn't be trying to feel better if you didn't love yourself, right? You wouldn't be doing personal development work like affirmations if you didn't care about how you feel. So you do love yourself. It's just a matter of expressing that more in your conscious mind and in your life.
Yeah. And by the way, for everybody listening, Kelsey is also the authentic affirmation queen. That's the third moniker that she has that I hadn't mentioned yet. So I love that. Okay, so here you are, you're going along and you're doing this and you start writing. You went through another depression how much later with the breakup and everything else?
Yeah, that was probably like 5 years later, I want to say.
Okay, so here you are, you think you're good. All right. I'm at a spiritual high. Yeah.
And then bam, massive heartbreak on a platter.
Yeah, it's always like finance and romance. Those are our biggest teachers.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Throw that one in too. Definitely. So what happened? Were you like riding a high? Were you like, everything's good? Or
it was like everything was good for a while until I realized that me and my partner of like many years, my high school sweetheart, the one that I plan on being with forever, were just like growing onto different paths, which was nothing wrong with that. But I was just realizing that we were wanting very different things out of life and our values weren't aligned anymore. And even though we cared and loved each other so much, like there was just no way that we would both be happy being together, creating a life together that worked for both of us. So we broke up and I felt really guilty because this was the second time I broke up with him. So I felt so bad for ripping his heart. I felt so guilty. And I was just like so devastated that this whole life that I planned was like taken. I was mourning the loss of this person that I'm like never going to spend time with again or be with again or probably ever talk to again. And I really don't talk to him anymore. And it was just one of those moments where you're just really broken open. And you're so devastated, like, how could life do this to me? How is this possible? How could this happen? And during that time, I ended up moving to a place that was very green. I'm from San Diego, so it's like a desert. And I ended up randomly moving to Columbus, Ohio in the summer, where it was like
random.
So random. I only knew one person there. I visited one time and I thought it was so cute. I was like, oh my gosh, there's no traffic here. People hang out on their front porch. Look at all these cute parks. I can walk everywhere. And I just was like, I don't care what anybody says. This is really weird to go from San Diego to Ohio, but I'm doing it because I need to be in a place that's green, that's lush, where I can start over and just have a new life. So I moved there. It was cold, obviously. I only lasted 2 winters until I met my now husband, who he had gone to Ohio State and then returned back to Columbus. And we were just like both passing through and we met and I was like, we got to get out of here and go somewhere warm. So we moved down to the Carolinas. Yeah. But yeah, when I was like so heartbroken, I just let myself like break like I had never before. And this was when I actually knew more how to be in touch like with my sadness versus the first time I was depressed. I think it lasted so long because I resisted the actual sadness that I was feeling and it was like pushing it down, right? And that takes a lot of energy. So you're tired and you're confused and you want to sleep all the time and you want to avoid your feelings. But when you're actually sad and you feel it, it goes through the body and it moves and you cry and you do what you got to do. But on the other side of that, you actually do start to feel better. So what happened was, from all the grieving and processing and just starting a new life all by myself, moving across the country, I just had a lot of time to move through that in a really graceful, self-loving way. And on the other side of that was a version of me that had access to all this information, all these like next level gifts. And that just even made my teachings even better and made me more wise and made me more resilient and made me more sure in what I was teaching about energy and self-love and thing that was going on at the time. So yeah, those were the two biggest moments that shaped me into the teacher and the writer and the author that I am. And it just goes to show that like your best manifestations just always start in the contrast, because when you're experiencing that thing that's so uncomfortable, that you don't like, that you hate, it's giving you so much clarity and it's shaping you into the person who can have the thing that you're asking for. There's beauty in it, even though it definitely sucks when you're going through it.
Yeah, it definitely does. But the only way through is through. Mm-hmm. If I could dance or tap or jump over it or anything else, I sure would have. And I'm sure everybody would have, right? You're nodding. Kelsey's nodding her head. Yeah, definitely. So you said something before that I found really interesting. You said, when you were in your earlier depression, that you didn't have any emotional intimacy. That's got to be hindsight. You did that at the time. That's such an adult view, not a 17-year-old's view.
Yeah, because at the time, I didn't understand like how to feel, or I would just always suppress everything. Oh, I don't have time for that. I don't want to feel like
that. I didn't grow up feeling anything or knowing not what my feelings were. We didn't talk about our feelings in my house growing up. So a lot of people do, but we didn't. When people go, anyway, I still Google feelings charts sometimes and go, oh, that's it. I'm way better now. It's lots of practice, but there's a lot of feelings. So sometimes I'm like, I'm not sure. I'll look. So how did you learn and grow and know about emotional intimacy? I found that to be an interesting.
Yeah. So in a lot of the work that I was doing with my shaman friend, he would just sit with me in whatever I was feeling, and we would just make it okay to feel like that. Not mm-hmm. in the same way where you go to therapy and they try to fix you or diagnose you or make you feel better, but it was more just like, okay, we're just going to be curious about this feeling. We're going to let it happen in the body. We're going to observe it just from a compassionate witness standpoint. We're not going to get lost in it. We're just going to watch it happen in the body and see what comes from that. And when I started practicing that over and over, I became more intimate with my feelings, and I became more accepting that every emotion, no matter how uncomfortable, is a messenger of some sort of personal truth. And you can't access that personal truth unless you let yourself feel that feeling. So for example, if you're angry, your anger could be trying to point you to a personal boundary that you violated or someone else violated. If you're sad, that could be pointing you to a need that's not getting met in your life. If you are, let's say, feeling jealous, that could point you to a desire that you have. So it's every emotion, no matter how like icky or heavy it feels, has a positive message for you, but you can only access that if you're willing to go there, which is uncomfortable, but with practice and breathing through it, and sometimes with a guide by your side, which now I help people with this too, it really becomes less scary and less intimidating, and you just ride the wave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting when you sit there with a feeling, you can feel where it moves to, and eventually you can feel it move out of your body, and then you're creating new neurotransmitters, which is really incredible. It's how we grow. And Kelsey's nodding and nodding for anybody listening, not watching. So I love that. So here you are, you meet your husband, you move on. How did you continue your growing? I love hearing how people's spiritual journeys move, because what you're doing now is so further along from where it was. How did you get introduced and find all your gifts, and how would you help someone else tap into their intuition? Like, how could they, if they're listening, tap further into theirs?
Yeah. So something that I've been exploring ever since the psychic gifts open up is trusting my intuition and trusting the information that comes through and not judging it right away or trying to put a label on it or trying to figure out what it means. Like just letting it come through and then observing it. Be like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that means. Like getting curious about it. Cause sometimes like I'll write something down and I'll be like, I don't know where that came from, but that is fire. I'll read it back and I'll be like, that is so good. That is what the people need. That is what I needed. And it just comes through and you're just like, whoa, where did it come from? And like when I ask, where does it come from? Sometimes it's God. Sometimes it's the universe. Sometimes it's like my spirit team or my higher self. But at the end of the day, it's all really like different fractals of the same thing. I would say you have to give yourself permission to receive information, first of all, to receive the insights, no matter if you like them or if you don't like them, because sometimes you're not going to like what you receive. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's true. I'm doing that. Or that's going on. Or yes, I need to change this or whatever. But letting yourself receive it, letting yourself not judge it, and then just practicing. Even I'm still practicing with clients, with friends, with family. I'll be like, hey, can I do this reading on you? Hey, let's do this new technique that I learned. So I feel like I'm just always learning, practicing, and like using the gift. It's like a language, right? It's if you don't use it, you lose it. So I'm just trying to use it as much as I can.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. I feel like every time I jump out of the shower, I'm like writing down what came.
Yeah, that's a good time to receive information.
Yeah, it is, because there's no, that's the whole thing about put down or take a walk without a device. It's also the getting outside part, but it's so true because that's where the downloads happen. It might not be walking for you, but no, you're a big what? No, I want to hear.
Oh, I was going to say I'm a big journaler. So I like to do a lot of my intuitive work in the journal so I don't lose it. So like I'll pose a question to my spirit team, let's say if I'm struggling with something, and then I will just journal the answer so I have it in writing so I don't forget. Because sometimes if you're just doing it all in your head, it comes really fast and you're like, oh, I forgot already. Or if you like voice record yourself too, if you're on a walk or something, that's helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And ChatGPT, no matter how you feel about it, it does a better job of voice recording than just notes or wherever you voice record.
I've never used it for that.
Oh my God, it's so much better. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Yeah. So what is your favorite thing to do right now?
My favorite thing is always writing. I've hosted retreats. I work with clients one-on-one and I love all of that stuff. I love working with people and seeing the instant shifts that happen. But for me, the most therapeutic thing where I feel the most charged after and not drained is to write. And it's interesting because, and this goes back to your question about my spiritual journey now, I've been working on a book that I intuitively feel is going to be a lot bigger than all of my other books combined. And this project has felt very intimidating to me because of that. Because before, when I was a new author, I was like, who knows how many people are going to read this? Who cares? Just put it out there. But now, like, I have work behind me, right? So it's, you got to outdo yourself. And this book, I know, has information that a lot of people are like asking for, like from the depths of their soul. So I feel like a heavy responsibility with it. And it's about law of attraction. And when you're feeling blocked, when you're feeling stuck, how to unstuck yourself, how to work through your resistance and align your energy really good, no matter what's going on. And so I've been like low-key procrastinating because I'm so intimidated by the project. And I feel like I've been called to this higher calling to like work on this book and like channel this book. So I've been like, I'm like psyching myself out about it, which is my like, which is me working through my resistance, right? Which is like the irony of working on a book about resistance and you're resisting the book that you're writing, which is hilarious. So it's funny, like when you're a teacher and you ask for certain information and then the universe puts you through it yourself so you can write from experience. So my spiritual journey right now, I would say like finding the confidence and summoning the courage to just put all expectations and like intuitive feelings aside and do it because like it's just being birthed through me and do it like without the ego, without the judgment of myself, without like self-sabotaging the project of just, I'm too scared. So many people are going to read it. It's going to change so many people's lives. Like it's going to have an effect. So I feel this like responsibility that comes with the power. And that's something I'm really moving through right now to go back to the my current spiritual awakenings.
I always say that the two biggest tools that work the best are meditation and journaling. They get your answers. They give me balance. They do everything. And they're the ones that I'll put aside on anyway, not that often, but they're just the best, the richest. What's the hardest challenge you've ever gone through and how did you get through it?
I would definitely say the hardest challenge was the heartbreak of not becoming a professional dancer, because that's what I'd banked on for like my whole entire life from age 2 to age 17. So almost 10 years of, okay, this is my timeline. This is my life. This is what I'm doing. I'm really focused. I'm really aligned. And then feeling like my body betrayed me by becoming injured and feeling like, God, what the heck? I thought you created me for this, but now you're taking it away and I don't understand. And that identity crisis that I went through during the depression and all of that was really tough because I had really wrapped myself around the identity of being this artist, being this dancer, being this ballerina. And that's all I am, which is not true. But at the time, that's what I felt and believed. And so I think mourning the loss of that timeline and then just realizing that everything that I was trying to get through dance and performing, like feeling graceful, feeling beautiful, channeling God's energy, feeling strong, feeling like my presence is like giving a positive effect to other people, like all of those things I can still access in other ways, and finding other ways, creative ways to access them has really been, I think, the most healing part. And then just not tying myself to such a limited identity anymore and just being me. Like I'm me and I do a lot of different things, but I'm not any of those things. And just really letting myself be bigger than what I'm doing or what I love.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Do you have a message of hope you want to give?
A message of hope. Yeah. This has been something that's been coming through lately, like a message for everybody. And it's really to let yourself dream. And to let yourself go for those dreams, even if you don't know how it's going to manifest or when it's going to happen, or you don't know if it's possible. Like, I think you owe it to yourself and everyone to go for it, because if you genuinely want something in your heart of hearts, there's a reason why. And if you're withholding that from yourself or the world, you are doing both a disservice. So I would say the message of hope for today is to dream big, let yourself dream big, and go for it, even if it's hard or scary or you don't know how it's going to happen, because just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't.
Yeah. Yay. I love that. And is there anything else that I didn't ask you that we're going to be done and you're going to be like, Lauren didn't ask me about this?
I would love to give a resource since we're really like talking about journaling a lot. Mm-hmm. I literally just a few weeks started a new Etsy shop called the 1111 Club, where I'm posting a bunch of different journals to help you manifest different things. And they're downloadable. So you can just go purchase it for $11, download it. You can print it out if you like writing by hand, or you can just use it on your iPad or phone or wherever you like to use your PDF journals. And I like am obsessed with the tool of self-inquiry. Like when you ask yourself the right questions, you get powerful insights, get powerful answers. And if you act on that information that you get, like you can totally change your life. So I just wanted to plug that resource for people, and I'll send you the link so you can put it in the show notes too. But okay. I'm obsessed with self-inquiry. So I would say let's just insert that into the conversation too, because the questions in there are so good. And I'll ask too, like when I'm writing it, I'll channel and I'll be like, what's the question that this person needs to ask themselves in order to get like the most clarity or the biggest breakthrough? And all these good questions come through. And so I think your audience will really appreciate working with those.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Okay. And the self-love psychic, how'd you get the moniker? Explain that. I did forget to ask you that.
Yeah, one of my human design friends labeled me that because I don't know how much you know about human design, but my type is a manifesting generator. And on my chart, there's all these different energy centers similar to the chakras, and some are filled in and some are open. But on my chart, I have every single thing filled in except the heart area, like they call it the ego center. So I'm pretty like defined as a person. Like I have a pretty set identity and like my thoughts are my thoughts, and I don't get easily affected by a lot of other things. But this open heart energy, this open ego center means that I'm very in touch with like where other people feel that they're lacking or they're not good enough. And so it helps me, the way that I'm designed, to read others and to read their most vulnerable things and to be able to call that out so we can shift it for them. So that was how I got the self-love psychic
nickname
from my friend. She was like, you're literally designed for this work that you're doing. It's crazy. And I was like, that's crazy.
Perfect. That's perfect. I love that. Yay. This was so great. And I can't wait. We'll go live and maybe do some stuff in the community also. That would be so fun. Thank you so much. Everybody's got to get the 1111 journal too. We'll have links for everything of Kelsey's, of course, on the website in the show notes. And thank you so much for being a guest today on 52 Weeks of Hope.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully we did give people some hope and some inspiration and some resources. So definitely check out the links in the show notes, because I have literally written so many books, journals.
There's so much stuff.
There's a podcast. Obviously, you like podcasts if you're listening.
Right. The podcast is amazing. Everything. You just go see it.
There's
so much to offer. Yeah.
There's so much stuff. Just go dive in.
Yay. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and take with you the messages of honesty, gratitude, and an open heart. Such great messages to take into your week ahead. Be sure to tune in next week for another empowering episode all about how to live abundantly, authentically, and how to have fun. It's a great episode that's super upbeat, and that's next week. You definitely don't want to miss that. Be sure to sign up for free confidence and clarity boost sessions. If you're struggling, this might be for you. It's for those who feel like life's passing them by, your inner critic's going nonstop, you're feeling burnt out and jealous of those who are doing what you wish you were doing. Just go to the website at 52weeksofhope.com and sign up over there. If you're enjoying the podcast, share the love and tell two of your friends. I'm Lauren Abrams. Thanks for listening.